We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Expect Casey to try to put a little something extra on the slider here.
Sun comes out from behind a cloud, and suddenly we have sunshine covering the infield. A 1-2 pitch to the plate.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out! He struck him out! He struck him out! Aggies are going to the College World Series!
Well, howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today's Monday, it's March 11th, the day after daylight savings kicks in. So, you know, it's technically 9 o'clock body time, but here we are.
Lost an hour and you lost your brain.
I did lost my brain. What the heck happened there? It was a long weekend, and I'll definitely get into all that here very shortly. But my name is Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 14.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. And happy spring break to everybody.
Yeah, happy spring break. Hopefully y'all are hearing this somewhere down on a beach somewhere or enjoying the mountains, wherever you like to go out and enjoy your spring break. Where was your favorite spots for spring break back in the day?
So I'm not a huge like travel for spring break guy. I've done the Panama City Beach thing. I'm more of a go to the lake and fish for spring break kind of guy, especially because given where we are, the weather always seems to be just right to where the bass are really running. So the fishing is really good. And so I'm more of a just go to the lake and fish and kind of drink beer guy. I never got into those, like the massive beach party stuff. That's just kind of not my MO. I don't think it ever was. That's not just me being old. When I was younger, I wasn't really into it either.
Like even back in college, like my freshman year, it was kind of an interesting situation. It was me, my parents, and my little brother. We all went to South Padre when I was a freshman, which was an interesting choice because you get down there and it's nothing but drunk college kids. And I technically can't drink. So why are we even there? Like that's the only big beach trip we did. We did make some international trips, maybe like jumping down to Jamaica, maybe going down to Cozumel, something like that. But honestly, one of my favorite spring breaks that I can vividly remember, and it was like the first kind of bigger road trip we ever did, at least that I remember, we went up to Four Corners region because we wanted to go check out a bunch of like Native American like settlements and things. So we went up to Mesa Verde, over the border in Colorado, which if you've never been up to Mesa Verde, it is very cool. You have these Navajo settlements that are actually built into the side of this cliff. And it's really, really neat. So we went and visited that, the Petrified Forest out there in Arizona. And eventually that was where we ended up seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time. So very neat.
It's funny you bring that up. I'm actually speaking at the Four Corners A&M Club for muster this year.
There you go.
Yeah, in fact, I just booked my flight this morning, but I'll be heading up there. And one of my buddies I went to school with, Brian, he's from kind of the Durango area.
Okay.
And so Saturday we actually have a day scheduled just to hop in the saddle and go for a trail ride. So I'm looking forward to be on back of a horse again. And obviously it's beautiful out there. So,
oh yeah.
You know what? I totally forgot. So when I was young, this would have been, 91, I guess. My dad got called up to active duty for Desert Storm.
Right.
But he got called up to go to Tampa. He was at MacDill Air Force Base, and that's where SOCOM is, Special Operations Command.
Yeah.
And so he was just working with Special Operations, but he was in Tampa, St. Pete. So that spring break, my mom, me, and my two sisters all packed into the Grand Marquis and drove to Tampa.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's beautiful there. That's probably my favorite part of Florida, quite frankly, is the Tampa St. Pete area. But yeah, I went to go visit my dad, and it was funny to see him like back in army mode because, you know, I wasn't young enough to ever see him on active duty. But the highlight of the entire trip, we were in the garage getting ready to go, and I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but we hadn't made it out of the garage, and my mom dropped the "I'll turn this car around" line. My sisters and I were being tyrants. I remember, I think I might have put like one of those suction cup little, you know, the orange foam basketball games. I think I might have put it up in the front window. My sisters were shooting at it. And yeah, we literally had not put the car into gear. And my mom was already threatening to cancel the trip. So that was probably one of my most memorable spring breaks.
Hey, that's totally fair.
I will turn this car around and we just won't go.
Like, fair enough. That's a long drive.
Not, you don't have to turn around. We're still in the garage.
Like, right.
Just take the keys out.
So up four quarters. So will the actual meeting be in Durango, or is that going to be in Farmington?
I'm not sure exactly where I'm speaking yet. I haven't gotten like the plan and the itinerary. I'm flying into Durango.
Yeah.
Well, flying into Denver, then flying into Durango.
Right. But hey, that'll be fun though. That'll be exciting.
Well, yeah, and it's such a special experience to be able to speak at muster. So I'm looking forward to it. But absolutely. Yeah, as far as trips go, we tend to do ours in the summer. Like spring break is just never a big thing. My daughter's going down to Port A this year. She and a bunch of her friends got an Airbnb, so they're going to go down there and be stupid and hopefully not get in trouble.
Hey, that's always the important part, right? Not getting in trouble. Hey, yeah. Whatever you do, just don't put yourself in a bad position.
Yeah, and she put the Airbnb or Vrbo, whatever they're using, on her card. So we're going to have a sit-down talk before she leaves about how security deposits work.
Amen to that. So,
and also how Airbnbs and Vrbos work in general. Because right. a lot of those owners, you know, as I've kind of found over time working with real estate, because I don't do a bunch of Airbnb Vrbo stuff like when I travel, but a lot of them like monitor their cameras the entire time you're there, which feels like some sort of like privacy invasion, but.
Right. But having spent many, many times at Airbnbs with the band, trust me, reinforcing the thought process, especially amongst a band. Hey, let's maybe don't destroy this person's house. That seems like a good idea.
Well, yeah, and also not having to, well, either. Well, I mean, they can just kick you out, too, in the middle of your stay. You know, there's a lot of rules that go into the short-term rental stuff right. where if you mess up 3 hours into being there, they can kick you out.
Yeah. One of my personal favorite, very recent ones we actually went and stayed at last time we recorded out in Dripping Springs, the same little sequence where I almost got hit by the car. That night, we spent out at this nice little house north of Dripping Springs, tucked nicely up there in the hill country. Isolated houses just kind of on their own little plots. And we ended up at this one that's overlooking this hill. We could hear, we heard some poor rabbit getting attacked in the distance. Pretty sure it was getting killed by a coyote. But we were sitting in a hot tub that was already running. And it was open, free to use, already running. So we hopped in that hot tub. It's nice and cold outside, but it's nice and hot in that tub. And we were just out there smoking cigars, goofing off in the hot tub. It was great. It was phenomenal. Except for that poor rabbit.
Kind of breaks the serenity to an
extent. We just heard it squealing in the distance, and Ryan looked over. He's like, "What the hell was that?" Travis and I are both like, "Rabbit."
It's bad, is what it is.
And so that rabbit's dead, son.
That's nature. It's just taking its course.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to sit here and fight it. Hey, everybody's got to eat. But going to move on into this next segment, which I am personally going to call the sweep segment, because the Aggies took care of business on both fronts. Let's freaking go.
Yeah, the baseball and softball team had great weekends. I was able to catch two of the softball games. And then I think I caught two of the baseball games. One of them I had to catch on the radio because I was out working. So I was like, drive around, catch a part of an inning, and then go do some work, show a house, hop back in, see what's happened. yesterday, I kind of went half and half. I caught it on the radio, and then I got home, and I got busy when I got home. Like, so I didn't automatically turn it on. And when I turned it on, it was after the debacle had occurred yesterday. And I was like, oh my goodness. But again, you know, you come out unscathed. Right. And there's a lot to take from that. We'll just start with baseball. Sure. Obviously Ryan Prager on a Friday, just going out. He is in absolute beast mode this year. Yeah. It has been so fun to watch him pitch. If he can sustain, you know, even a decently high percentage of that performance level, like throughout conference play,
yeah.
I mean, that means every weekend, you know, you're just put in such a great situation when you start off Friday well, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of the Friday game. You want to set a tone early. So you need to get out there, do your job. That's why you throw your best pitch. Well, generally your best pitcher, your ace on Friday. You want to set the standard. Hey, we're going out there. We're winning this thing. There's nothing you can do about it. Sorry to be you. And Ryan Prager has been that for us in these early games. Absolutely dominant performances, doing your job.
Well, yeah, and this weekend, obviously, starting up conference play, it's going to be huge. You know, going on the road to Gainesville, Florida, obviously a really good baseball team. Yeah, and the Friday night matchup is probably going to be one of the best in the nation on Friday night.
No doubt about it. I mean, yeah, Florida's dropped a game here and there, but generally they've been very good doing their job and, you know, facing that adversity and getting through it and continuing to win series, which is so very important.
Well, and remember, I mean, their season started off so weird. Remember, they got like rained out the first weekend, and
right,
their non-conference, you know, their non-conference slate hasn't just been nobody's.
Right.
Yeah. So Florida has Florida has played a couple of teams. So I think I that's must watch TV this weekend for me.
Oh, I agree. And I think that's going to be really, really fun. But yeah, looking back at our weekend and week for sure. You know, first and foremost, you go on the road, take care of business at Texas. And I mean, when I say take care of business, you went out there and dominated from first pitch, essentially. You went out there and did your job on the road in front of a sellout crowd, largest crowd in ballpark history for a regular season game, again. Seems to be a common trend. We keep seem to doing that for them, you know? It's crazy how that works, especially when it's our Super Bowl, right? But we go on.
That was a fantastic game midweek. I'm glad that it kind of went the way it did, in the sense that, you know, Schloss did treat it like just a midweek game, you know, run Cortez out there. But I think you also saw that there were a couple of decisions made that it was like, I get that this is Texas and we need to beat them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you went out there and, yes, a good, easily the highest ranked team we've played so far this season.
Yeah.
And you did exactly what you expect this team to do. Go out there and win in dominant fashion. And on the road, of all things. So that's impressive.
Yeah, and what's funny is it's positive for either way. If the Sips keep losing, then we just get to laugh at them. But if they win, then it's great for us.
Great RPI boost, always. Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, take your pick. You don't have to really go search for RPI boosts when you play in the SEC. But, right, you know, when you can get that, you know, those can be differentiating factors. You know, obviously when they're really trying to hash out the national seedings, you know, supers between just regular regionals. Yeah. So I thought it was fantastic. And I yesterday's game obviously was interesting. Would be a nice way to put it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you go in there and quite dominant over the first several innings of your game, and you do your job, cruise along.
Pitching was great again.
Yeah. I mean, starting pitching was phenomenal. And obviously the bats were definitely there. I mean, you go out and you give our relief pitching a nice seven run cushion, and then all of a sudden it evaporates very quickly. And at the end of two innings between the sixth and the seventh, you've given up a total of 11 runs in relief pitching, which is something we hadn't seen all year. But
we haven't seen in a long time. I mean, you can go back to ours. That's just something that doesn't happen very often, period.
No, it doesn't happen very often. But I will say this. This is almost a perfect scenario for something that needed to be tested at some point during this non-conference slate. You need to go through a little bit of adversity and see how your team responds. Now, obviously, at no point do I think we intentionally gave up 11 runs. But I do think by allowing 11 runs in that stretch, now you have four half innings to try to, you know, salvage the situation. And you go out there and you do it.
Well, I mean, clearly not intentional. And I'm all about going through adversity, but giving up 11 runs in two innings is not adversity. That's just completely imploding.
It was.
You know, adversity is going on the road on a Tuesday night to play Texas and then coming home the very next night to play another game, coming off an emotional game. You have to play Texas Southern, who, you know, you're not good. Like, there was some adversity in that game. I loved that bounce back game because, like, they came out so flat, but for them to still be able to, you know, win the game. But Sunday was just an implosion. That's not adversity. That's self-made adversity. That's not the kind of adversity, you know, you necessarily worry about overcoming. But you kind of answered this question. This is a question I had for you. And it's the difference between, would you rather have had that happen and be able to and show that you can fight back? Or would you rather have never done that against a team like Rhode Island?
No.
You know, so there's, and I know, and I get it. And the phrase, it's baseball, and I understand that, but giving up 11 runs in two innings is not baseball. That's not baseball at any level.
No, and obviously I don't want to give up those runs to a team like Rhode Island, of course. But I mean, you look across the college football, college baseball world, you saw this happen to several teams. I mean, the fact that Kennesaw State went up against Kentucky and just blew their doors off a couple of times after Kentucky had been doing really, really well.
Yeah, they won the series. Yeah, that was shocking when I heard when he was going through the score updates. That was shocking when he said they took the series.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, and adversity happens, and I get it. And there's absolutely zero alarm bells for me. Like, I'm not concerned about what happened because sometimes things just happen.
They do.
So it's just kind of one of those things where what I'd really love to see is a dominant performance on Tuesday night against a good Sam Houston club,
Oh yeah. Yeah.
who very well likely may throw out their Friday night guy.
Well, and we know Sam. Coming off of a big weekend for themselves. I mean, you go on the road to Texas State, who just
Next
came
series
off,
against that.
you just came off a big weekend, taking down Texas. Texas State, as we know, is a good mid-major program in this state. But so Sam. And Sam goes out there and takes care of business against Texas State. They're feeling hot. And now you get to come into Bluebell Park in what's going to be a Tuesday game for Aggies. We're not going to go out and throw our Friday night guy. So when we go out there and face Sam, it's going to be a tough fight. I don't anticipate it being an easy game. So go out there and do your job if you can. If we drop that game, I wouldn't be shocked. Because
I think I
Tuesday's
would because I think when you look at this team and you kind of consider the mentality across the board on it,
sure.
I think it like yesterday was quite a wake up,
I
quite a
think so.
wake up call. And honestly, maybe it'll play in our favor heading into a Tuesday, a difficult Tuesday game. Outside of Texas, the hardest Tuesday game we've played.
Yeah, I think that is a more likely scenario, knowing the mentality of this team. I think you take the lessons from Rhode Island, which are very important lessons to take away. Yeah, we are going to get into some situations at times, respond properly. Hey, that was a bit of a scare. Reset your brain pitching. Let's get it going into conference play. So now you get Sam with your nice little dress rehearsal at home, your last game at home before you have to hit the road. So go over there to Florida, and you're gonna have yourself your hands full with a pretty tough series.
Well, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know if it's on national television. I feel like it should because the way Prager's pitching, and then was it Caglione? How do you say it? Caglione or something like that? That dude is an absolute monster.
Yeah. Well.
So I mean, you're looking at literally probably the best pitching matchup in the nation on Friday night is going to be in Gainesville. So looking forward to the weekend. Again, you take all the non-conference and flush it because once you get into SEC play, everything changes.
Season starts now, so
Yep, pretty much. Well, after Tuesday.
after Tuesday,
Well,
we got to get in there, start taking care of business, and yeah, it's conference.
and let's see if this team is able to stay focused on Tuesday, knowing what's coming for the weekend.
Absolutely. And so D1 comes along, releases their ranks, A&M jumps up to number four now.
Yeah, right behind Oregon State, and it's what Arkansas won, LSU two.
I believe that was the case.
Yeah.
Let me triple check.
And then you have
Yeah, Oregon State's at three, A&M four, Tennessee five, Duke six, after a really good road series against Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And you take care of business. So Wake Forest drops to seven, and Florida chilling there at eight. Yeah, 10-5 on the year, but Florida's good. We all know this.
Because what Wake started number one, right? Preseason?
Yep.
Yeah.
And so they drop all the way to seven after losing to Duke. So now A&M, prime position. You put yourself at number four. And the teams that are ahead of you are teams you're going to end up facing. So, and if you beat those type of teams, just do your thing, do your job. That's all we ask.
Well, and again, the rankings, they're for us. They're not for anything else,
Exactly.
it rankings don't matter. All
No,
right.
not this
I
early.
haven't seen the softball rankings come out yet, but let's move over to softball. So
Let's do
softball had a fantastic opening SEC weekend.
it. Oh,
They
perfect.
sweep South Carolina to run their record up to 23-2. They now won six straight. And South Carolina's top 25 team.
Yep.
So again, moving from baseball to softball, the level of competition is still ridiculous, like whether it's baseball or softball. They welcome South Carolina to town. Trinity Cannon has a walk-off homer one game. Yesterday, Brooke Vestal really, we talked about her early in the season because she was having some struggles. She's the transfer pitcher. Yesterday, she turned in a performance that we've been, you know, really waiting to see with that kind of consistency. She went six. She gave up a run. Then bring in Emily Kennedy to shut it down, which is, you know, Emily is such a weapon to have in the circle. Mm-hmm. And in a low scoring game. I mean, that thing was really hanging in the balance in the seventh inning. But thankfully, Emily Kennedy, you know, was able to shut the door. And so I think they go this weekend on the road to Mississippi State.
Yep.
Again, I don't know. I don't have the rankings for some reason. I don't. Softball rankings are so slow to come out.
Yeah. They take their time for sure.
Yeah, they come out. I want to say like they don't come out until after lunch or something like that. But you know, I would assume that the Aggies, you know, the Aggies would climb up the pole maybe a couple spots. Yeah, but again, you know, rankings be damned. If you go win series in the SEC, you're good. You're good to go.
That is the most important part. You know,
so seeing the production of Allie Enright, Trini Canyon seems to have thankfully turned the corner. She was having some early season kind of woes in the doldrums a little bit with her hitting, but she has really, really turned it on. Mm-hmm. And if she wanted to wait until conference play to turn it on, that's fine. Okay. That's, you know, we went 19-2 before conference. So, but yeah, so obviously the, you know, the softball team is into their conference now, in their conference slate. Yeah, just that's another one to keep an eye on is going on the road to Mississippi State. Yep. Again, neither the baseball team nor the softball team really played a ton of away. The softball had a little bit more away experience just because of going out to California.
Right.
And we'll go on the West Coast twice, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
They only dropped one. I think they only dropped one of all their games when they went out between the two classics or tournaments or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. You know, Weber State was the one loss, which was just kind of a head scratcher. So again, we keep saying it, man. Ton of excitement on the diamonds for Aggies this year.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm definitely excited to see what softball can bring to the table as the rest of the season keeps rolling along. As we've seen ourselves in past seasons, you know, playing those kind of evenly matched games and even at home, and we just, for whatever reason, can't seem to pull them off. You go and sweep over three games that are essentially all pitching duels, and you do your job in all three, win those games. So that's what we like to see. No Tuesday game this week for them, so just get to hit the road to Mississippi State before you come back home and face off against Texas State and Auburn. So,
yeah, and it'll be the first week that they get to skip the, you know, skip a Tuesday, just like we're getting to the end of our Tuesday slates with, you know, with baseball. So I'm sure that'll, you know, get used to the schedule of not having that Tuesday kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, how they run practices once they get rid of Tuesdays, I have no idea. I don't know if they do simulated games on those Tuesdays just to stay in the, you know, stay in the groove or whatever, yeah. But I don't get paid to make those decisions. And the two people that are getting paid to make those decisions seem to be making the right decisions.
So far, so good. So we like to see what we're seeing out of softball and baseball. Plenty of sweeps this weekend, which were great. That's exactly what we asked for, and we got them both. So,
yep. Women's basketball. I thought they put up an incredible fight against South Carolina.
They did. Absolutely.
I mean, at one point they had it down to nine. They was down to 9 points heading to the fourth quarter. Yeah. You know, South Carolina, just the class of really women's basketball to an extent, you know, obviously, you know, was able to pull away and just kind of really out muscle out talent, but held them to one of their lowest point spreads of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an undefeated team. So you're going off, you know, who beat somebody by less kind of thing. But I thought it was a fantastic performance after coming off beating Mississippi State. I think the women are firmly in. They are 41 in the net. I cannot imagine a scenario where they don't make it, especially after winning one in the tournament as well. Right. You know, if they just bowed out in the first game, maybe there's a case to be made that they're on the bubble. But I haven't looked at the bracket projections yet. But I did hear when I was listening to the game, Charlie Cream, who is big into the selection bracket stuff on the women's side, yep, was at the game, at the South Carolina game. So he got to get eyes on us playing. And I think you just have to understand that it's South Carolina. They're the only undefeated team in the nation. So when you can play them close, it's impressive. It's not a moral victory, but it gives somebody visual proof, like especially when he's there in person, he can see you play against South Carolina, because that's the bar, right? South Carolina's the bar. Yeah, South Carolina, LSU, pretty much. So, you know, those are the golden standard right now in women's basketball. So, I think they did themselves a massive favor in the South Carolina game. On the other side, The men rattled off three straight, and we're back in the bubble conversation.
You know, so, I just wish that basketball would find a way to maintain some kind of consistency mid-season when you're having those woes, man, because I hate having to have arguments down the stretch again. Well, they have so many quad wins. It's like, well, they have so many of this squad losses. It's like, well, if you would just go out there and do your dang job.
You're having to argue a position they put themselves in.
Yeah. And this is like the, I don't know, second or third time we've had to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it gets frustrating. I mean, so they get Ole Miss, so they'll play Ole Miss back-to-back, basically. So, seems like a dangerous task because Chris Beard will have them ready for it. I mean, did you see his post-game stuff? He was so upset that he was seeking to reimburse every single fan that attended the game because of how bad they played against us.
Yeah, so you know he's going to want to make up for that.
He pissed. so, but if you can get past Ole Miss, then – if you get past Ole Miss, you get Kentucky.
Right.
And this ain't the Kentucky team that we beat. This team has gelled. That's what Calipari teams do, especially when he has so much young talent. Early in the season, they stumble a lot, and that's when all the Kentucky fans run for the hills.
Right.
They're freaking out. And then they all come back with their heads down, apologizing, mm-hmm. Two-thirds through the season because Calipari gets kids, clicking on all cylinders, and they figure out how to play with each other. Yeah. So I think if you really just want to open and shut case, you need to beat Kentucky. Now, granted, obviously that means you need to beat Ole Miss, but
right.
But I think in order for it to work, like in order for you to have a case where it's no problem, like just it's a no brainer, no doubter, you got to beat Ole Miss. You got to beat Kentucky.
I agree.
Beat Ole Miss and lose to Kentucky, you're going to be in the hands of the committee again. And as of today, we are 46 in the net. Which isn't the worst, but
could be better.
Well, yeah, and now you've got to start looking at bubble teams and how they do in their conference tournaments, because there's some teams that could slip past us with get an auto bid.
You gotta pray for those conference leaders to do their job when they're trying.
Yeah, in the smaller conferences where they're only going to get one or two teams in, or two teams in, the ones that are good enough to have a second team, you don't need any Cinderella stories.
No, that's the unfortunate part of this sport, though. Or depending on your perspective, where you will get those Cinderellas, they will make their runs, and they'll do what they do every single year.
That's the beauty of the sport. It sucks when you're in the position we're in, but that's absolutely a beautiful part of this sport with the tournament. Just those smaller random, stories coming out of nowhere kind of thing. I love that. I love that about college basketball. I think that's what makes the tournament so special. Basketball is still top heavy though, so it's the Cinderella runs only go so far.
It's true.
Cause there does come a point where, just you can straight out talent somebody.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's beautiful, a sport. It just, we're sitting on the wrong end of that stick. So, it's easy to be hesitant about saying it's beautiful, but it is. That's a great part of the sport. Absolutely.
For sure.
So that's kind of what's happening, what's coming up kind of thing, really. I believe we play Thursday. Is that right? I think we play Ole Miss Thursday. Since we got the first round bye, I will say that's the last thing you ever want to do is you have to play on the first day of the conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Adding in that extra game. I don't think anybody's won the tournament that's had to play all the way down from the bottom of the bracket.
No,
which surprised me.
No, it's a gauntlet, there's a benefits obviously to being that early team or being a higher ranked team, so you don't have to go through all of those different rounds. But yeah, no, we'll kick things off on Thursday, March 14th, over there in Nashville at 6 p.m. taking on Ole Miss. So
okay, yeah, that's what I thought, because the women and men's tournaments are set up the exact same way days wise. So yeah, yeah, because the women started on Thursday. Okay,
so that'll be us.
I mean, yeah, watch. I mean, I guess if you're in Nashville, go to the game. The SEC tournament is not generally a sellout unless you're playing Kentucky.
Yeah, but it'll be a fun game, and we'll definitely see.
Interested to see how Beard's Ole Miss comes out after how he reacted to how we beat them. I'll be interested to see how the team responds to that, because that doesn't always work.
No, it's the old adage of, you know, when you try to overcorrect, that still leads to mistakes, you know? And like, I feel like that, you know, that applies to music too. I mean, I've seen it happen so many times, like where somebody they'll screw up something and then they try to overcorrect or try to overperform, and that will just lead to more mistakes and it'll tend to snowball on you if you're not careful.
Well, and it's also a bit of a factor of, I mean, did any of his players perceive that as getting thrown under the bus?
Yeah, who knows? Could be a number of things.
I mean, I've heard that he's not the most pleasant person to be around, so
Well, considering his background, I can understand that.
yeah, just a bit.
Without having to go into details, you know what we're talking about. The
Yeah.
guy's not exactly the most reputable type of member of society. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. I mean, it's possible we go out and we do. I mean, I don't think you're going to go out and shoot like again like you did, but when A&M shoots like that, I mean, well, and I will add in the fact that I've given Manny Obaskie plenty of flack, and I'm happy to eat crow with how well he played.
Oh,
And
yeah.
that almost looked like they just let him loose. They were like, you know what? Just go play basketball. Like, just go have fun.
Go have
You
fun.
know. Because it just seems like when he's been out there this season, like he doesn't fit into what we're trying to do. You know, like he doesn't fit into the concept we're trying to run offensively. And it just seemed like against Ole Miss, they were just like, you know what? Just go out there and ball, man. You guys just go out there, hit the floor, play basketball, remember why you love the game.
Right.
And I think you saw it, and you saw it from them. Like literally, you saw joy from them. You know, it was they were having fun.
Have you ever watched the movie Glory Road?
No.
Okay, so Glory Road's based on the Texas Western basketball team going on and eventually winning the national championship over
Right.
Kentucky and opening up, African Americans to
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the first starting five. Okay.
the first
You
starting
said Glory
five that
Road,
won.
and for some reason, like blue chips popped in my head, and I was like, no.
No, but there's a great scene in that movie. They're playing early, a game against like Iowa or something, and very clearly struggling. Where they're trying to play the scheme of basketball that Don Haskins is trying to impress on them, and it's leading to mistakes, it's leading to screw ups, and all of a sudden they find themselves in a bit of a hole against a highly ranked team. At which point they lean and say, "Coach, you got to let us play our game. You got to let us go out there and do what we do." At which point Don Haskins say, "All right, you can play your way, but you also play my way. Play good defensive basketball, but go out there and have a little bit of fun." And what do they do? They start doing little tricks, trying to play around, do what they do well, in the schoolyard ball, apply that to college level, and it showed. And it's one of those things that persists throughout the rest of the season. And I said, let the guys go out there and have fun, just keep it within the scheme. And rock it and roll it. I mean, let's
Yeah.
have a little bit of fun. At
Yeah.
the end of the day, it's a game, man.
Is. It is a game. So that'll be interesting. I think that Thursday game, I mean, you feel like it's a pivotal for the season kind of thing, you know, and you hate to put yourself in a situation where every game is the most important game. Like every game, like your postseason's hanging in the balance, but that's where they are. And so, you know, just accept it. That's where you are. Watch the game, hope they beat Ole Miss, and then I mean, you never know, right? Because
Never know.
when we shoot well, we can beat just about anybody in the country.
No, you're right. Absolutely. So I'm very curious to see how we play down the stretch here with men's and women's basketball. Those are both going to be highly entertaining as we continue to roll. Baseball and softball looking really, really good. So I'm excited for continually conference play for softball and the start of conference play for baseball.
I think I'm as excited as I've ever been for this weekend for baseball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've got great opportunity to go out there and really, this will be the test. All right,
Yeah.
who is this team? Can
Well,
we do
yeah,
it?
and I think that's why I'm so excited, is because we're not like just going to a random, you know, conference. Like Florida's good.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a really great test and a really great barometer. And it's not the end all be all, just like, you know, baseball, no one game is. But you sure would love to win the series.
Well, let's throw it back a little bit. If you go back to 2016, I mean, our opening series that year, when we ended up being a really highly ranked, like number four team in the country in 16 for baseball, that opening weekend against Florida, we got swept on the road, and that was the only series that we lost for the rest of the season until the Supers. And in the meantime, you end up taking down who was at the time number one Florida in the SEC championship game by a huge margin. So there was a lot of excitement, obviously, for baseball at that point, and people are making allusions to the 2016 Aggie team and the 1989 Aggie baseball team, and that fills me with a lot of anxiety because we know how both of them you come up just a little short of O-Town in both situations, and you're like, ah, those are like, it was the best team in the country, man. They deserve a shot, but you know, you got to go out there and win those games. You just got to do it.
Yeah. This team is its own team, man. And I think Schloss is really good about having these kids stay in the moment and, you know, with the right perspective, both as a baseball player and just as an adult. So it would not shock me for us to sweep Florida.
No, it wouldn't shock me
if we won the series. I don't know that it would disappoint me, but it wouldn't shock me if Florida was able to win the series. I would just be shocked if we got swept.
I don't think we'll get swept. I honestly would not be terribly shocked if we ended up losing the series on the road, because road series, that's just the way it goes.
Well, I'll just be disappointed because I don't like losing.
I don't like losing either. But I think in reality, A&M's probably looking at probably a 2-1 weekend. I highly doubt we go 4-0 this next week, but you never know. And maybe this team is that team. And maybe they just have destiny kind of planted on their shoulders. We don't know, but I guess we'll find out.
They've certainly shown quite a bit so far.
They have, so we'll see how they do. One quick thing I wanted to touch on outside of our typical baseball and A&M sports. English Premier League, man. You know, all of a sudden, that title race is getting really tight. I'm not sure if you saw the results on Sunday, but all of a sudden, the top three now are all within 1 point of each other, with Arsenal only holding an edge thanks to goal differential over Liverpool, and City sitting 1 point behind. And not a lot of time left.
We drew with Burnley. Premier League is dead to me. I'm so sick of Moyes Ball, man.
Hey, that's – I mean, I honestly,
I don't care who wins the league as long as it's not Arsenal.
I do. But you know why I care. And
yeah. But you're in the race.
Well, like, I would love to see – I mean, if for no other reason, truly. I mean, Liverpool winning titles – they've done that. You know, we're talking the second most Premier League title, or, you know, top level, top tier titles in English soccer. But I think more than anything, I think the thing that's so important to me is I just want to see Klopp go out on top, because that he's such a great guy. And I want to see him be able to walk away with, you know, a handful of things that he will be able to just hold on to. Premier League title be good. You've already got the Carabao Cup. You can go win the FA Cup, even better. But I think at the end of the day, you can pull off the Premier League title in your last year at Liverpool, that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, you have a bit of an emotional attachment to it. You'll also see people that say that if Liverpool wins, then it's all scripted anyways.
Well, they can say what they want, but the fact of the matter is those guys are still playing the game. And if it was truly scripted, then why on earth did Liverpool not get a penalty late in that game on that high kick? That's the real question. It was pretty egregious, and it didn't go to VAR, and everybody's kind of scratching their head.
We had one go to VAR, and it was the dumbest decision on the planet, man. VAR is the one thing that basically shows you that it's not scripted, because you literally have no idea what decision they're going to make anymore, because they're completely inept.
Well, none of it makes sense. There's no consistency there. And we've talked about VAR on this podcast in the past, if you've heard it, but it's such a, like, as a review system, it just doesn't have any level of consistency. And it just sends the fans into an absolute frenzy where they're like, you know what? Screw it. Enough of this. Let's go back to what was just go off the call on the field at this point, because you guys can't seem to figure it out with cameras, which is incredible.
Yeah. It's awful. It's awful.
You have technology, man. What are you doing?
It literally reminds me of, like, the SEC having such poor officiating.
Very much, like, so.
It's the best conference with the worst officials. Then Premier League is the best competition literally in the world at a league level, and the officiating is so wonky.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So, but like I said, it's going to be an interesting title run. I mean, all you got to do is Liverpool is win out, and then also –
10 matches left.
Yep, you got to win out and pray. Well, and then one big matchup coming up will be City and Arsenal themselves going at it. And at the end of the day, would love a draw there.
if De Bruyne stays in the form that he's in, they're going to smush Arsenal.
Probably. Which wouldn't be the worst thing if Liverpool continues to win, because at the end of the day, you still have goal differential over City, but that's all here or there at this point.
Well, the only thing that we have basically left at this point, because I don't think we're going to crawl into the top six, so we basically have to win Europa,
yep.
Which we dropped the first leg against a nobody. So, you know, good old Moyes ball.
Old Moyes ball.
That dude's got a contract extension sitting on his desk. He's admitted he hasn't signed yet. Well, and I don't know. I think he feels like we're being ungrateful as fans. But quit drawing to Burnley and losing to Sheffield. Ever think about that?
Yeah. Well said. You want the fans happy. Maybe don't lose those kind of garbage.
Don't lose to the bottom of the table clubs. It's pretty simple. And don't take a month and a half to get your first victory in a calendar year.
Yeah.
Maybe West Ham coming down with a Christmas tree.
Ouch. But yeah, so Premier League heating up down the stretch. Baseball's rocking. Softball's rocking. I'm, you know, spring.
Make sure you plug your video.
Yes, absolutely. So if, a couple of things. First and foremost, if you are on the YouTube world, which of course you are, go watch Carson Jeffrey Marlboro's at Midnight. We just released a brand new video for it that just released onto YouTube. It is a live version of us playing it. So basically recording ourselves straight to the board playing the song. We're playing it in Carson's parents' dining room. So we're out here just jamming along in the dining room. And the sound quality, I was actually rather impressed just right out the gate. And I was like, man, that really sounded good. So definitely go check that out. It'll be on YouTube. I'll tag it whenever we post on Instagram as well as on Twitter. X, all that fun stuff. So I'll be sure to make sure we do that. This past weekend was a lot of fun. We ended up going out to Corpus Christi. We played over at Concrete Street Amphitheater, opening up for Midland, Megan Maroney, and our buddy Tyler Howerson was there as well. So we get out there, played first, about a 30-minute set. And I'll tell you, a 30-minute set is hectic because you get out there, it's like, whoa, quick rush. All right, hit them with everything you got. And then get off as fast as possible. So we went out there and just threw everything on the table. Here we are. This is Carson Jeffrey. Love it. And left. So we had to just kind of fly in there. But Halverson puts on a great show. And I'll tell you what. Big winner that night for me was Megan Maroney. My goodness. She is talented. Her band is very talented. And she can hold a crowd in the palm of her hand. She knows her audience. And the first time she's ever played in Corpus Christi. And you would have never guessed. People are screaming every lyric back to her. It was incredible. Yep. 6, 7,000 people out there. Just nice. Screaming. So that was a cool moment for us. If you are around, we will be in Concan playing out there at House Pasture this Thursday with Pat Green. Our show in Waco was canceled for Friday, and here's why. A local frat approached the backyard and said, hey, we want to pay you $25,000 so we can do this frat event for with a different band. And they went ahead and went with it. We're like, yeah, so I guess we're chopped liver. We'll see if we don't get another.
Seems like there's some sort of contract dispute situation possible there.
I think that that's the case. So we'll figure out what that looks like here later, but then we'll wrap up things this weekend. On a Saturday, we'll be rolling up to Granbury, playing Warren's backyard up there. So if you're in the Granbury area, please come and hang out with us. It'll be a fun time, I'm sure.
Right on. Well, got a fun week to look forward to.
Absolutely. Well, folks, you guys go out there and try to enjoy some sports this weekend.
Enjoy spring break. Enjoy the weather, man.
Enjoy the weather. If you happen to be in Florida, go check out the boys. If you happen to be in Mississippi, go check out the girls. But go out there and have some fun. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the travel. Yep. I'm Rob
be
White.
Safe on your spree. Be safe on your spring break.
Absolutely. I'm Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you. Take care. Beat the hell out of Florida. Beat the hell out of state.
Jacob.
Jacob.